Good morning.
Good morning.
Ooh, full church today. Happy New Year to you all. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Well, Mrs. Long, you have the most expensive seats in the house. Yeah. I would like many of you to take the poinsettias that are out there. As you leave today, there's plastic bags. Take them home and nurture them. And Roy, if you plant them, they will grow next spring, okay? If you guys bring them out to the fish house and put them down next, it's going to bring you great luck, especially out on the flats. Today is the day of Epiphany. That was the, I don't know how they named it, except, see, Epiphany is an aha moment. It's I finally got it. It's the light bulb that goes on and, oh yeah, this is it. And it's the day that the wise men found the baby Jesus as they followed the star. And it was like, I finally got it. This is the King. This is the Savior of the world. This is the one we've been searching for. And I have a feeling that the reason the church fathers and mothers and wise people, as they put the church year together, they wanted all of the followers of Jesus to have that aha moment too. Aha! This is the light who comes out of the darkness. This is the one who we're going to find real life in, Jesus, huh? And so I see we're packed from front to back. And I have a feeling that you probably need to find some light in the midst of your darkness. I know I do. And this is the good place to be, so on the day of Epiphany, that's why we're here. Everybody is invited to receive Holy Communion at the table of our Lord. Everybody in God's kingdom is somebody. Everybody has something to offer. I should remind you, everybody falls short, though, don't they, Dean? Especially your pastor. Yeah, we don't need to. Yeah. So, anyway, we're all in this together. So if we can share the light with one another and help each other down the road, that's what the body of Christ does. And that's kind of the theme of Epiphany, that His light comes and we reflect the light in our lives. So it's nice to have you here. Thursday, if you're free, come on over at 10 o'clock, and it's time to pull down all the Christmas decorations and return our church to normal. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you might grant us each an epiphany today, an aha moment, a moment where we realize that you are our Savior, you are our Lord, you do love us. Even in spite of ourselves, you care for us. You died for us that we could live. And so as we gather as brothers and sisters in Christ, allow your light to shine today in this room, that we, as we leave, can reflect your glory. Bless us now with your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is, O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, 886. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship on this day of Epiphany in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of Christmas, who came to us, may we now come before you to confess our shortcomings and to hear once again of your undying love for us. Let us confess together. Jesus, we turn our backs to your promises. We ignore the many signs you have given to our generation. We confess that we try to do it alone, and we fail miserably. We hear your message of our neighbors as ourselves, but we do not act on its meaning. We let the flame of Christmas love go out of our lives, only to be replaced by the winter chill of disappointment. God of unbroken promises, we come to be set ablaze by your words of love and forgiveness. Hear the cry of our hearts for forgiveness. Let us take a moment for silent confession. Let us hear the good news of Christmas. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. The cross is the ultimate goal of Christmas. Jesus came to earth as a little child to take away the sins of the world. God gave Christ as a sacrifice for our sins, and through Christ we can live eternally as a new child of God. Praise God for the Christmas promise of everlasting life.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion with the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join in praying the prayer of the day. O God, on this day you revealed your Son to the nations by the leading of a star. Lead us now by faith to know your presence in our lives, and bring us at last to the full vision of your glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading today is from Isaiah chapter 60. Jerusalem is assured that nations will make a pilgrimage to her, because the light of God's presence is in her midst. The bountiful food of the sea and the profits of eternal trade will come streaming to Jerusalem and thereby declare God's praise. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 72. Please respond in the bold print where you see the bold R. Use the refrain, all kings shall bow down before him. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son, that he may rule your people righteously and the poor with justice, that the mountains may bring prosperity to the people and the hills in righteousness, that him defend the needy among the people, rescue the poor, and crush the oppressor. All kings shall bow down before him. May he live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another. Let him come down like rain upon the mown field, like showers that water the earth. In his time may the righteous flourish, and let there be abundance of peace, till the moon shall be no more. May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles pay tribute, and the kings of Sheba and Seba offer gifts. All kings shall bow down before him. May all kings bow down before him, and all the nations do him service. For the king delivers the poor who cry out in distress, the oppressed and those who have no helper. He has compassion on the lowly and poor, and preserves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their lives, and precious is their blood in his sight. All kings shall bow down before him. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this Sunday of Epiphany is found in the second chapter of St. Matthew. God's promise shines bright in the night as magi follow a star to honor a new king. Strangers from a faraway land, they welcome the long-awaited Messiah of Israel. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 817.
seek other seas.
Let's sing one more last verse, okay?
You who have fished for their waters. Smiling, you call up my name. On the sand I have abandoned my small boat. Now with you I will seek other seas.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I like that song. I don't know what it has to do with Epiphany or the King coming or anything like that, but that's the story of a lot of us who like fishing. This morning I heard that Mark Corngable's father passed away, and bet you this would be a nice song for him. A young man was sitting in church one day, and he made a startling discovery. Now, he wasn't in a church like this. It was one of those big cathedrals in Europe, if you've ever been there. They're kind of a darker church. And up above in the front was a, you see that candle, that light there? It was a great big light that shined down in this cathedral. And this young man, 19 years old, during the sermon, he started watching that, and that the candle was swaying and swaying and swaying. And pretty soon, it was going back and forth and back and forth, back and forth. You're getting sleepy. You know, if I could listen, if I could hypnotize all of you, I could go home now. And I don't think it was because the sermon was dull, although you guys wouldn't know anything about that, would you? Anyway, he made a discovery as he watched this. He started going the swaying. He started working on his pulse and figuring out. He was a university majoring in medicine. But after that, he switched to mathematics and physics. His name was Galileo. And he figured out things about time that no one had ever thought about before. In fact, Galileo's thought of as the father of modern science. That's what Stephen Hawking has called him. Albert Einstein called Galileo the father of modern science. I mean, but he got that from watching that light in church. So good things can happen in church, Bill. Galileo. His life was changed. Our lives were changed. In fact, at the time of Galileo, the very best watches or clocks lost 15 minutes a day. A few years later, after he put his mind to it, clocks were only losing 10 seconds a day. So as we begin this new year in worship, that was Galileo's aha experience. Aha! There's something going on here with the swing. There's something going on with time. I hope that you have an aha experience as you think about who God is and how he works in the world today and how he's affected your life and life in general. Huh? When was the last time you had an aha experience? I mean, aha, I got it. Aha, the light bulb goes on. I know now. Why didn't I figure this out earlier? All of a sudden you get it. Aha. That's an epiphany, huh? And when we have an epiphany, we discover something new, something exciting as we begin a new year. I hope that each one of you has an aha experience about how God works in your life, how God works in your family, how God works in your world. Some people already think that they know everything there is to know how God works, you know. I believe, what else do you need to know? I have a feeling if that's where you're at, you're missing out on a lot of life. You're going to miss out on a lot of life. Because God does new things every day, and if you keep your eyes open, you might see that, huh? Reminds me of a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. One of my archives. You all remember Calvin and Hobbes? Calvin is the little boy, and Hobbes is his stuffed tiger. Hobbes comes up and says to Calvin, "Calvin, did you make any resolutions for the new year?" And Calvin becomes highly agitated and indignant. He says, "No, I'm fine just the way I am, and why should I change? In fact, if I think it's high time that everybody else should change for me, I don't see why I should do all the changing in the world today. If the new year requires resolutions, it's up to everybody else to change their ideas and not me." And he says to Hobbes, "How about you? Did you make any resolutions?" And Hobbes says, "Well, I had resolved to be a little less offended by human nature, but I think I blew it already." It's true. Some of us think we have arrived, that we've got a line on the truth, we've got it all figured out, that we don't have any more growing to do, and we think we know everything about God we're ever going to know. I think that would be our loss if that turned out to be true. So keep your minds open, okay, and take a look for God. I had a Bible teacher once who asked us, "What is your ambition in life today?" And he looked at the class, and there were maybe a dozen of us there. He says, "Is it to get rich? Is it to make a name for yourself? Is it even to do a wonderful thing for God?" And then he looked at us, and he says, "I want you to listen to this and listen closely. The highest desire that can possess any human heart is a longing to see God." And that's the meaning of Epiphany, to see God. That's what he was suggesting we all do, is to look for God. So these men who are going to Bethlehem, Epiphany, the 12th day of Christmas, according to the tradition today, these wise men were seeking God. They had arrived to worship the one who was going to be the king of the Jews. These wise men had followed a star until it came upon where this young child was laying, and his mother Mary was there in that house. And on coming to the house, they find the child and his mother, and they bow down and they worship him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. It's a wonderful story, probably one of the most best-known stories of our faith. And we read in our first lesson, the prophet Isaiah anticipates the coming of the wise men years before. He says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Herds of camels will cover your land. All from the land of Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." I mean, these were the words of prophecy, that these wise men were coming to find light, huh? But even Isaiah didn't understand the full impact of what would happen when his prophecy was fulfilled. He only prophesied what God laid on his mind, huh? "Arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise, shine, for your light has come." What are these, when you hear these words on this Epiphany Sunday, what do these words mean for you, huh? That your light has come. For the Magi, these words represented the birth of a king. What does it mean for us in our lifestyles these days? I've been thinking about that. If the light has come, what does it mean for us? Doesn't the coming of the light imply, first of all, that the world is in darkness, that we need some light? I mean, Isaiah says, "Arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. Darkness, a thick darkness is over the peoples." Do you sense that in the world today? Isaiah first spoke these words to the people of Jerusalem during a time of great travail, huh? These were a captive people. Their land had been occupied by Babylonians. Their houses and their fields had been ravaged and abandoned and laid desolate by the power of all those Babylonians in that empire. But God, Isaiah is saying, is not going to abandon you. His people are going to be his people forever. God is going to act on your behalf. A light is going to come. That's what Isaiah is saying. And so as I think about darkness, darkness usually signifies all the things we most dread. Darkness, no, my old grandma used to say, nothing good can happen after midnight. Criminals are more likely to prefer dark than light. Fear is more prevalent in darkness than it is in light. Ignorance is associated with darkness. But here's what's disturbing. There's going to come a time, says the Bible, when people will love living in darkness more than they do in the light. Is that time closer than we think? I'm just thinking now. I'm just saying. Something for us to think about. A rabbi was telling of hearing a 10-year-old boy who was studying the events that are recorded in the book of Exodus. Remember the plagues that hit Egypt as the Israelites were preparing to leave slavery? And this 10-year-old boy was perplexed by the third plague, which God sent, darkness over all the land. You remember? And so this child asked, if people are living in darkness, why didn't the Egyptians just light their lamps so that they could see? After all, we've got to assume that that's what they normally did each evening, was light their lamps, their kerosene lamps or whatever, so that they could see at night. Why, when it became dark over all the land, didn't they just light their lamps? And the teacher explained to them that the darkness in Egypt didn't affect their eyes. It affected their hearts. Physically, the Egyptians could see, but in their hearts, they didn't recognize the misery and the intolerance and the persecution that were causing all these people so much hurt and harm in their lives. The Egyptians were blind to the suffering of others, kind of like what's happening, I think, in Syria today. All the stuff that's happening, they don't understand how much harm and hurt and pain and suffering they're causing. I think that's what's meant by the plague of darkness. No one wants to be kept in the dark unless they're doing evil. Darkness hides our misdeeds. Light reveals the misdeeds and in all their ugliness. King Herod, he lived in perpetual darkness. If you study, he's going to iPhone it, I know, right now. If you study King Herod, this guy was ruthless. He murdered his wife. He murdered three of his sons. He murdered his father-in-law. He murdered his uncle. He murdered many others. The crowning cruelty, of course, that Herod did was to send out his soldiers to murder all these boy babies in Bethlehem under 2 years old. This guy lived in darkness. He wanted to get rid of the newborn king of the Jews. Plato even wrote once, "We can easily forgive a child who's afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when adults are afraid of the light." Herod was afraid of the light. And so he sought to slaughter the one about whom John had said, "In him was life." That life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. In Jesus' day, in Israel, the world was in darkness. Ignorance and evil were on the rise. Maybe it's not unlike some of the things that are happening in our world today. But the point today on Epiphany Sunday is that darkness will never have the last word. Darkness will never, ever overcome the light that's found in Christ. That's the message of Epiphany. Light has come into our world. When I was in seminary, One of our professors asked us to summarize all the gospel in a few words. And one of my classmates said this. He says, in the Bible it gets dark. And then it gets very, very, very dark. And then Jesus shows up. I thought, that's about as good a statement as I've ever heard. That says it all. The world was in darkness, deep darkness. And Jesus showed up. In his book, Gulag Archipelago, Alexander Solzhenitsyn tells a story about when he was in jail. He was in his jail cell, and there was no light. In fact, they had taken black paint and painted the windows until one day a fleck of paint came off the window, and he saw the light coming through. The sunlight shone its rays of hope into his dark cell. That light is what gave him strength to continue on, because the light showed him that he was still alive. The light showed him that he was still a part of God's created order. It was enough for him to know that the world outside was still progressing. It gave him hope, that little ray of light. More than 2,000 years ago, a tiny baby came to Bethlehem in Judea. It may have seemed that it too was a tiny ray of light in a dark, dark, dark world, but that tiny ray of light was exactly what the world needed. And even today, that light is still lighting people's lives, helping them to move out of the darkness and find hope and find love and find care. Arise, your light has come, says the scripture. What does this mean to you? Biblically, it means that without Christ, this world can be a dark, dark and lonely place. It's a world of conflict. It's a world of injustice. It's a world of ignorance. It's a world of fear without Christ. But that's not the end of the story. It gets dark. And it gets very, very, very dark. And then Jesus shows up. There's one more thing that needs to be said. If the darkness of this world is going to be pushed back any further than it is already, you and I are going to need to let our lights shine. Christ is the light of the world, but we who are followers of Christ are called to reflect his life in our lives through our words and how we treat one another. We do that by continuing to shine his light through us into a dark, dark world. This Christmas, I read a story by Henry Van Dyke. The story is called The Story of the Other Wise Men. In this story, there's a fourth wise man who seeks to follow, to find the other wise men that were seeking for Christ, and he never found them. He carried with him three jewels, and as he traveled and traveled and tried to catch up, he had run into people who needed help, who needed concern, who needed love. And as he met these people, he would give one of his jewels until finally, he couldn't pass people by without trying to help them. So he ended up using all three of his jewels he had intended to offer Christ for the cares and needs of the people that he came in contact with. This fourth magi searched for Jesus for the rest of his life, only to realize that at the end of his life, he had both found Jesus and worshipped him each time he gave himself and gave one of his gifts to those who were in need. Through his compassion, this fourth wise man pushed back the darkness and gave his gift of Christ's light to those he met. And that's our task as well. We're to live in the presence of Christ so that with time we'll be able to reflect his light through our words and through our deeds. Traveling man got into one of these shops. He found a matchbox that was phosphorescent. It said, "This will shine in the dark." So he brought it home and was at dinner with his wife and turned the lights on, and it didn't work. So he flipped the lights on and throws it and says, "You probably got taken by this little shop, you know." So his wife the next day picks up the matchbox, and of course, she reads the directions. And it said, leave it in the sunlight during the day and then it'll shine. So she leaves it out in the window box. And that night, the husband comes home. She says, "Surprise, watch this." And she turns the light, and there that Max box just shined brighter than could be. And you turn it on and say, "Wow, how about that? It's a brilliant glow." You see, what was true of that matchbox is true of us. Any light that we shine in the dark world is a reflected light. Something, it's Christ living through us. It's us responding to his love and his joy and his forgiveness, his acceptance. It's the light of Christ's love. When we live in his presence and seek to show his love to our neighbors, then the darkness is pushed back until the day comes when we will all live in his love and in his eternal light. And that's what's promised to us. So let's, as we start a new year, let's make it part of our lives to reflect Christ's light. Something for us to think about today. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. As this is the first Sunday of the month, we will be passing around the blessing blocks. God has blessed you, has shined his light on you. If you'd like to make a special gift, that would be appreciated. The congregation, please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us pray. Good and loving God, we rejoice in the birth of Jesus, who came among the poor to bring the riches of your grace. As you have blessed us with your gifts, let them be blessing for others. With the trees of the field, with all earth and heaven, we shout for the joy at the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the church, the earth, and all those in need. In the name of Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger, died on a cross, and rose from the grave. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. God, our true light, we pray for the great company of the baptized. Lift up our eyes so that we see the brightness of your rising. Lord, in your mercy. God, our shepherd, we pray for the earth, for rain in areas affected by drought, for sun in the flooded lands, and for peace in places of suffering from natural disasters. Lord, in your mercy. God, our guide, we pray for all nations and their rulers, for merchants and school teachers, for victims of human trafficking, for relief organizations, and for the poor. Lord, in your mercy. God, our bread, we pray for those who are hungry and cold today, for the mentally ill and physically disabled, for those far from home and those without homes. We pray for the sick, especially we remember in our prayers Aileen Lowe, Ron Hass, Bob Vorlachek, Dean Newman, Arlene Westerland, Mel Hammond, and those who we name in our hearts before you who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy. God, our treasure, we pray for this congregation, for the council and musicians, for the altar guild and those who care for our building, for our education and outreach ministries. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this church family. We especially pray that you might comfort Mark Corngable and his family as they mourn the loss of Mark's father. We ask that you would smile upon our families and friends this year as we begin a new year. Allow us to reflect your light through our words and through our deeds, how we treat our family members, how we treat our neighbors, how we think of your world. Help us to be good caretakers. God, our bright morning star, we thank you for the saints who have made their final journey home to you. Give strength to us who have Hear, no lasting city. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
O God, who shines light into darkness, receive these prayers and the prayers of our hearts through the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And so we gather as brothers and sisters in Christ on this Epiphany Sunday, the first Sunday in a new year. We have new beginnings, new opportunities. What better place to start our life this year than at the table of our Lord? Jesus came on that Passover meal for his Last Supper. He took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are welcome at the table of our Lord. This morning we will use intinction. You may dunk your bread into either the grape juice or the wine. Table is set. Come eat and drink. Will the congregation please rise? The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto eternal life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. Radiant God, with our eyes we have seen your salvation, and in this meal we have feasted on your grace. May your word take flesh in us, that we may be your holy people, revealing your glory made known to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Shine, Jesus, Shine, 671.